God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
The God of the universe created the world. He could have snapped his fingers. He could have winked it into existence, but he didn't. He spoke words. He said, "Let there be light." And I think that shows that God Almighty values words, because we believe we speak words about the happenings in the world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Scanning the news, this is what we do in what I do, which is radio and podcasting. And my mentor, God rest him, Rush Limbaugh, had said that show prep never ends. I did show prep this morning as I was making an electrolyte drink. It's something I make for exercising in hot weather. Prefer to make my own. It was better show prep than reading. Because in reading, I've learned a bunch. I know that the president was arrested. I know he's been booked. We're going to have Sandy Rios on. You know Sandy, longtime radio host, Fox News contributor, does a great podcast here at AFR.net. We'll talk about that. I'm going to ask Sandy some questions about if she had been running the debate. What would she ask? Because I would have asked some different questions. Number one, I would have asked each and every person on stage, who is Jesus Christ? I would ask them to answer that. Not to trap them. It shouldn't be a trap. Just information. I could ask them, who is Muhammad? And yet we're not a largely Islamic nation, thank God. We're largely a Christian nation, even casual Christians, people who don't really know what it means to follow the Lord, but it would be interesting. I'd also like to know. Beyond that, I'd like to see, how does that manifest in your life? What are the fruits that would indicate that's true? Or perhaps you're just going to say, I don't believe in Jesus. Okay. Well, that's a big decision for me then. That would disqualify you from my choices. I read that the National Institute of Health, and I read that the people who run Joe Biden have committed a massive amount of money to COVID research and so-called vaccines and therapies, and they committed $1.4 billion to that. And people of Maui has received $8.5 million total. Oh, incidentally, the voices of the people in Maui continue to tell these insane conspiracy theories that are conspiracy theories for about 12 hours. And then they're proven true. The Associated Press, and this was the one I was studying as I started to mix together my electrolyte drink. I put into this honey, some pink sea salt, which is about as natural a salt as you can use, water, and then a squeeze of lemon into it. And it's perfect. It's a perfect design. It always has been. To replace the electrolytes in our bodies we're going to lose when we go sweat for a couple hours. It's just a perfect design. Oh, the AP story. Right. So the Associated Press has confirmed that Maui officials blocked the southern exit from Lahaina so people could not leave in their cars. Good luck running out on foot. I am sad to say that I believe it'll come to pass that that probably killed hundreds of people. Well, not to mention all the decisions they made beforehand to do absolutely nothing to prepare for this. Well, to head it off. Because it would have cost a lot of money. Well, no. In comparison to politics and spending on COVID lockdowns, it was almost nothing. So as I started to mix together the electrolytes, I realized that I didn't have honey. There's this stuff called blue agave. My daughter is a vegan. And so she has a conflict with honey. it's okay if beekeepers don't kill the bees. And there's just a conflict. And so I didn't have any honey, so I used blue agave. You know what it was as well? It's just plant sugar into the water with the pink sea salt and a lemon. Performs the same function. Also a way of honoring my daughter's beliefs. I do. I try to do that. We're not to drive our children to anger. We're to bring them up in a godly way. I think it was the Apostle Paul who told us, hey, look, when you're eating with people with different customs, if the food's not been bespoiled by a pagan ceremony, partake. Partake. So occasionally I go to a vegan dinner with my daughter. You know what? That restaurant's turned into one of my favorite places. I've made friends with the people there, and I truly crave that food. And I think about that time. You know, we just did that. Celebrated a birthday recently. My wife did the graciest thing. She just put together a thing for my weights. It's a weight stand. I'm not good at building things. Even little things like that, I just get too frustrated. And she did that for me. It's a great act of service. A wife to a husband. Oh, the news. Yes, the news. During the debate, Vivek Ramaswamy made a meal of Beltway Republicans, or what I call professional Republicans. That's easy to do because they've got glass chins. He made a meal of Chris Christie. I don't mean any pun in that. I really don't. Chris Christie said, hey, this guy, Vivek, is up here saying that, how did this skinny, weird-looking guy get on stage? The last guy who said that was Barack Obama. And Vivek Ramaswamy simply made a meal of Chris Christie when he said, well, come and give me a hug then, Chris. Like you hugged Barack Obama. Come and give me a hug. Help me win the election like you helped Barack Obama get reelected. Easy target. Easy target. So there's more in the news. There is the fact that we're continuing to see COVID deaths with young people, and it's continuing to be covered up at the same time as Anthony Fauci. There's a semester coming at Georgetown. He's got two professorships there, so he's going to be extra busy. Well, except that it's a no-show job. He just gets the money and gets to say he's a professor, and they get to say he's one. So as I put the blue agave in the water, and by the way, always add the salt last, I think. Mix that up so it's good and dissolved. And it just occurred to me, this is, with the exception of the blue agave in place of honey, this is as close to a simple food straight out of what God continues to provide that there is. I got some birthday wishes from people I haven't heard from in a long time. It's nice to know that I'm on people's minds. Nice to know that I'm remembered. I did a crazy series of workouts for my birthday. High volume, two in a row. Relaxed for about 3 hours and did another one. And my body made it through it. And all around our world, there are people whose bodies continue to hum along, often based solely upon what God provides. And I'm not the only one who had a birthday. We were having a birthday dinner. Just behind us, there was a young boy, 13, 14 years old. It was his birthday too. His parents took him out. Oh, I had the kindest thing happen. Just out of the blue. My church war room sent me a birthday card with a certificate in it. Saw this guy the other day. He had a whole bunch of groceries standing in line, and he wanted to let this lady go first. She only had a few items. So she did. She went first. And he got up and he put his stuff through the checkout. And then the cashier said, the lady you let go first is one of the general managers of our region. She personally paid for your groceries for being kind to another customer. It's just these acts of kindness. I know this is in radio. in talk radio when you begin the program. In commercial talk radio, it's called the hot segment. And the hot segment is where you heat up the audience. And so this is where you fry the red meat. This is where you state what you believe right out front. Fox News is a rigged network. Then you back it up. Then you give examples. And then you tease the next segment. But the hot segment has to be the hot open. Well, the hot open to me is this. We remind ourselves, Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, when you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will this morning was it in the midst of reading all of this news, and so much of it bad, so much of it deeply disconcerting. Oh, like this. Why are FEMA officials, why are they staying in five-star hotels? Are there no two-stars available in Maui? Are there no FEMA trailers? Did they not bring any in? Did they not fly any in? Well, there's this. The CDC, knowing very, very well that these gene sequencing devices, this modified RNA, is killing people and maiming people, and it's causing miscarriages, it's causing spontaneous abortions, it's preventing people from getting pregnant, it's causing long-term heart problems with people, myocarditis and pericarditis, it's causing neurological issues. They know this. So their response, well, one of them, is they've decided to stop putting new adverse events from these injections into its V-Safe program. They just don't want that data. Instead, they're putting it into the VARS database, which the CDC pretends is an inconsequential, casual little discussion group amongst people who've got it into their cute little heads that the injections harmed them. You know, people who were fine and then got injected and couldn't speak. Things like that. I think God's will for me this morning was to remind myself that somewhere right now, there's a first child being born. Families celebrating their first children. Right now, there's someone exiting this earth, about to go into the arms of the Lord Jesus and other people who are going the other way. But it's still ticking, right? This planet is still spinning. This people that God created still have choices to make. And we were told there'd be times like this. And it's funny because in the reading, in the gathering of audio and building what we call show sheets, I do a podcast. It's 2.5 hours of content every weekday. It's a lot, honestly. I'm blessed to be able to do it. If you'd like to hear it, go to thetoddhermanshow.com. You can hear that. It's a ton of work. For every hour of podcasting, it's about an hour of prep. So as I'm building the show sheets and the news keeps coming up, I keep experiencing this, what would I call it, peace? How would I explain it? Peace like a river? Great book, by the way. How about peace that surpasses all understanding? All because there's a simple cup, a large one, actually, 32 ounces of homemade electrolytes based on what God provides for us. He hasn't stopped providing manna from heaven. And let's not think he ever will, because God is a God of promise keeping. All right, we'll do the hot segment next. Sandy Rios joins us. This is the Disciples, A Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. Sandy Rios was instrumental in me coming to AFR, and she was kind enough to have me on her podcast way back. Gosh, it's August 11th that we did that. You know her. She's well known at AFR. Great podcaster. Get her podcast at AFR.net. She's been a Fox News contributor for a long time, knows DC inside and out, and knows the Lord. Most importantly, Sandy, welcome.
Thank you, Todd. Hey, listen, you better be doing a good job if you're going to say that I recommended you. You got to better deliver. That's all I can say.
No, I just took the last segment off. We just played some music, you know. Just
talked
took
about your massage lately and all the things
you're
doing.
How God just this morning inspired me to relax with a cup of electrolytes. I'm still providing, he said. So
you know what? I was listening as we were waiting, and you were talking about the work and the time involved, and people don't probably quite understand. I think there's some talk show hosts who really like to hear themselves talk so they can get on and blather for a long time. But if you are a serious host who really wants to bring it in terms of serious information, it takes tremendous amount of experience in a lot of areas and a lot of study. Because you can't just know these things. And so, Todd, I'm so grateful that you have joined our lineup because I know what kind of a host you are. I thought you were wonderful when you were filling in for Rush. My husband and I both thought you were the very best one. And that says a lot, you know, filling in for Rush. So I want to repeat that. You are a treasure, and I'm glad you're with us.
Well, God is the treasure, and I appreciate that, and you are as well. And thank you for your kindness. And Sandy, I wanted to ask you, I have a series of questions that I sometimes present to politicians that make them deeply uncomfortable. When I interview them, I will start by saying, who is the Lord? No, I won't say the Lord. I'll say, who is Jesus Christ? And I will just drop it there. And some of them are deeply shocked when I say that. I've also asked, for instance, on a purely political basis, although I believe it's a demonic force, is Black Lives Matter Incorporated a terrorist group? And it is fun to
see. You're not very nice, Todd. You are not very nice, Todd. Really.
I don't think those are mean questions. They could simply say no. They could simply say no. But if you had the opportunity to ask three questions of the Republicans, and we can talk about Joe Biden as well, but if you, Sandy, were one of the moderators, or let's say the moderator, what are the three top questions you would have had for the Republicans last night?
Well, mine are not as spiritual as yours, so I'm going to go back to the drawing board, but I do have some questions. There is a theme, and it kind of shows you where I am right now. So I'll just, rather than say where I am right now, I've never had a talk show give me an assignment. You gave me an assignment, so here's my homework.
Okay.
All right, so the first question I'd say, basically, people can't afford gasoline. Food, our housing prices. China is on the brink of war with us. Our military is weak and unprepared. Our southern border has become a gateway for our enemies and potential terrorists. American cities have been decimated by crime and lawlessness. Our children are being indoctrinated and sexualized in public school. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you describe the urgency to prevent this disaster?
I like it.
So you want the other two?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think your harsh criticism of President Trump during this difficult time will spare you from personal destruction by the left?
I like it.
And my last one is, there's a theme here. Mm-hmm. How would you like fellow Republicans to respond when you too are eventually arrested and your own mugshot is displayed? Would you like them to A, criticize and malign you before the American people? Would you like them to B, just be silent? Or would you like C, come out in unity against the forces seeking to destroy you and this country? Those are my questions.
I like it. I think those are great questions. And we live in this time where I see the establishment, what I call the professional Republicans or shiny shoed Republicans. They're all wanting to scream normal, normal, normal. Normal, normal, normal. Everything is normal. And I saw Nikki Haley And I see that Fox News has determined that she won the debate, which is fascinating.
Well, they determined who was on the stage, so why not determine who was the winner?
Right. And it's not racism to ban Larry Elder, of course. But
Yes, and remember that Governor Burgum is much better known than Larry Elder. We've established that. There's just no contest. Everybody knows who he is.
The Burgum fever sweeping the country. No,
exactly.
See people in T-shirts and getting their faces tattooed.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
I know. I've never seen anything like it.
Nikki Haley went on Bloomberg in the post-event spin and explained something that back in the day would make sense, but it's not a normal time. She said that we need to go to younger people and say, hey, the rules in Social Security have changed, and you don't get any money until well into your 70s. Okay, well, that's an interesting economic talking point, and we can talk all day long about Social Security. I could issue, for instance, the fact that when Social Security was created, you paid for yourself. Your input paid for your retirement. Right now, it takes 17 actively working people, 17, to pay for the benefits of a retired person. That's not the fault of the retired people other than voting for people who raided the Social Security fund. But when she says that, and in the same debate, explained that the reason we must send another $1 trillion to Ukraine, because that's what it's been over the past 20 years, $1 trillion, is because Putin killed a guy who ran a militia. Wow, I'm sold, Nikki, right? How these people do not understand why President Trump's mugshot, and I want to talk to you about this, why President Trump's mugshot may well win him the election, they really, I think, fail to understand the deep, I do not want to use the word hatred, the deep disgust people have with DC. I mean, how do you see that?
Well, you want to hear about my, Todd, I was in DC for a long time. I don't even know. I can't find the words. I often say, and I have to say before I say it, I don't want anyone to die. I'm not wishing death on anyone, but I would love to see the District of Columbia plunge to the depths of the sea. If it disappeared off the face of the earth, we would be so much better, because there is a vortex, a film, a curtain, a heavy blanket of ridiculousness over the center of power in the world. And honestly, whether it's the Supreme Court justices or leaders in Congress who are just, I swear, Todd, I'm sure you have too. I have confronted them so often, and they are so out of touch. It is absolutely shocking, and that's one of the many reasons why we're in the position that we're in. As far as Ukraine is concerned, I know we could talk a long time about that, but you and I are on the same page, I do believe, based on what you just said. Look, Putin is not a Sunday school boy, and neither is Zelensky, and neither are the Ukrainian leaders. They are joined at the hip in terms of their corruption that goes way back to the Soviet Union, and we know that they play the same games. It's propaganda and mind games, and we've been propagandized on what's happening in Ukraine. It doesn't mean that the Ukrainian people are not suffering, and nor does it mean that they're not wonderful. But they're playing with us. The leaders of both sides, the Russians, they're not doing so well playing this game. But the Ukrainian leaders, in conjunction with our leaders, are playing a game with us, and so is the media. And we know that Joe Biden and his family have already benefited financially, what, $10 million already from Ukraine? Five for the big guy and five for Hunter? I mean, this is something is so smelly. It's horrible. And so I don't think we give them another dime until, if we want to give to charities that are helping the Ukrainian people, I'm all for that. But I am not for continued military help. I'm not.
Yeah, we are largely on the same page. And I played some audio yesterday from Tucker Carlson's interview with Colonel Douglas McGregor. And he had advised the Joint Chiefs and the national or the military apparatus about international affairs for President Trump. And it's his belief and his assessment, it's not a belief because he provides detailed evidence for why he holds this opinion, that we have so misused the blessings God's given us and so misstewarded it that he does not believe we can win a fighting war against Russia, not because of our men and women, not because of our men and women. And it's difficult in these times to find praise or find reasons to praise. And yet I believe that praise is this great anecdote against despondency, because the enemy cannot create, he cannot invent, he cannot love, he cannot experience joy. So he can distract, he can distort, and he can depress. What I'm finding remarkable is with all the efforts to hide this from us, firing Tucker. I don't have any inside information on Fox, but it was a weird decision. Trying to disappear people's opinions. That now the rebirth of the censorship complex at Twitter, whereas Elon Musk is on a hiring spree to hire censors. They can't hide the truth. And in fact, Sandy, I don't know if you feel this way, but as I watch in Washington State, that separate country, they have lost 40% of kids from government schools, and they're not coming back.
Withdrawn from public schools.
40%.
Wow.
And I believe God is lifting the curtain. I believe he's opening the curtain of what you correctly describe about Washington, D.C. And I believe God is saying, look, and I believe God God turns people to their own devices, but I believe God's saying to these people, be louder, show more, let people see what you are. And in that way, I just find myself filled with praise, because every day I meet a new person who says something's not right. Every day, Sandy, at church, we have people come from out of state to our church to come in and say, I've never been to a church before, but something's not right.
Yes. Well, I have to say, I'm with you, Todd. Look, in spite of all I say, and I say a lot of bad things and give analysis because I know a lot of bad things, and so do you.
Yeah.
But in spite of all that, I it is well with my soul. I do trust God. I do, and I do see him working. And if I probably don't say that enough. I do see him at work. We know evil is unleashing itself on us, and we do know people are waking up, and that is the point. That's the whole point of the end of the age and of the gospel, is that people will come alive and see because of the darkness, and some will harden their hearts and become worse. And we're watching that. We're watching that. And no doubt, God is going to be doing some incredible things. He already is. We're just watching it. We're going to see people transforming their lives. But meanwhile, do you not agree with me? Maybe you don't. Let me ask, don't you think we have to keep fighting? Fighting not for ourselves, not for self-preservation, but for fighting the evil. Because if we don't fight it, not salt and light, it's going to accelerate even worse than it is now.
It was this morning after devotionals. I'm reading a book on spiritual warfare. And I contend that we don't just need to fight reactively. I think we need to go on offense. And I've said for some time that I want people to open carry Bibles.
I believe that too. I do that too.
Take it to work. Well, if it's not in your heart, don't use this as a prop. If it's not something you read on a consistent basis, please, God, don't do it as a prop. But if it is something you read consistently, don't keep it in your car for lunchtime. Set it down on your desk.
Take it on the plane. Read it on the plane. I certainly do that. Yeah, I'm sure you do too. I want to read it on the plane. And I'm not ashamed that I'm reading it on the plane.
Right. And take the word of God, Sandy. And this is where I'm at. Like, people want politics in the churches. I'm the reverse. And I'd like to know what you think about this. Yes, we need to talk about abortion and the lie of transgenderism. And these things shouldn't be political. We need to compare this all to God's word. But I don't want political advocacy in the church. What I recommend is take the word of God into school board meetings or into congressional hearings and state the word of God. It never returns void, and make those people face it. I think we go on offense that way. And also, I think we need to flat out state, under the power delegated to us by the Lord Jesus, we want these demons banned. We ban them from these kids. Get them out of our children.
Well, I think, yes, two things you said. I think speaking truth, and yes, I believe in that very strongly, whether it's a school board meeting or wherever. The thing that I guess I would say is the caveat to that for me is don't I just personally would not advise people to say, like it says in John 3:16, God so loved, I would try to paraphrase because people don't understand. And sometimes when you give scripture references, you mm-hmm. may disagree with me on this, it's off-putting and they don't listen. And they don't understand the language that you're using. So I present the truth without necessarily giving chapter and verse. But the other thing is, what was the first thing you said? What was that other thing you said?
No, I think open carry. Open carry the Bible and take God's word into politics. Don't bring political division into the church.
Yeah, well, I guess I agree with you, except that I don't think you're not saying, are you, that, look, I feel that pastors, I've said this for a long time, their families, their children, the parents of those children mm-hmm. don't have a clue the seriousness and the deep layers of the spiritual battle that's going on.
Yeah.
And pastors have to speak to that, and they have to teach and train and equip their people. They can't send them out into this wild, evil world without some kind of preparation, and I fear that's what they're doing, Todd.
Yep.
I hear that music.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on. I don't mean that pastors should be silent on these things, but I would say this to pastors. If after being in your church and hearing you preach and teach and being in small group and life group together for a year, if the people you're shepherding don't know how to vote after that, think again about the approach. Sandy Rios, appreciate you coming on. We'll have you again. It's AFR.net. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll continue. Ooh, I like that. Welcome back to Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. That was nice. Radio shows evolve over time, and we'll add more music and probably have some musical guests on as well. I really do believe that God has put into us the need for music. And I talk about this a lot because it just hits me a lot when I hear something I like, that you know God has put into us a need to have certain forms of music. In fact, it can be expressed mathematically. And it's a fascinating dynamic, the one, the four, the five, if you're in the music theory. In fact, sometime we'll get someone on to talk about this because I think it's fascinating. I think it's one of the lesser known miracles of God that we can communicate that way and feel that way through music. God uses so many tools that if we are really paying attention, to me, they're inspirational. They add to this piece. Even as you're frustrated, like I was talking about in the first segment today, of just getting loaded up on truly tragic news. There's a video of a guy made. He was in Lahaina trying to get out. And thank God he lived, but other people didn't because the authorities literally blocked the exits, which cannot be defended. That sort of incompetence cannot be defended. And if it's not incompetence, I couldn't even believe it's not incompetence. It has to be incompetence. And that loading up on me and that silly little cup of electrolytes I'm making, or big glass of electrolytes I'm making, I just had the same piece come over me, just hearing a piece of music. I don't know what that was. But God has these tools for us. I also know, and this is why we do this particular feature coming up, that God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and he chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and we remember that with this feature.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
There was a time where if I were to say to you this morning, if I were to come on the air this morning and say, gosh, you're not going to believe this. You know what? We dropped the axle on our wagon, and now we got to get out there with an anvil and take this to the blacksmith. And I don't know how I'm going to get it there because I also had the horse throw a shoe, so I got to put a shoe on the horse. And if we're going to do that, I best get my divining rod out. because it might rain, and that's an outdoor blacksmith shop, and it's miles away. I don't want to ride this horse through the rain. You might be going, where do you live? In what era do you live? So there are statements that make sense in a given time. There's timeless things. God's word is timeless. Math is timeless. That's God's math, by the way. But at different times, they simply are breathtakingly out of step. Example here. Nikki Haley told Bloomberg News something that used to make sense but is now more babbling.
Well, you know, you've got multiple candidates on that stage that said they wouldn't touch entitlements, including Trump. And any candidate that says they're not going to touch entitlements means that they're basically going to go into office and then leave America bankrupt. Social Security is going to go bankrupt in 10 years. Medicare is going to go bankrupt in 8. So the way we deal with it is we don't touch anyone's retirement or anyone who's been promised in, but we go to people like my kids in their 20s when they're coming into the system, and we say the rules have changed. We change retirement age to reflect life expectancy. Instead of cost of living increases, we do it based on inflation. We limit the benefits on the wealthy, and we expand Medicare Advantage plans.
When she says that, you can have all sorts of fun economic discussions, the Hoover Institute versus the Hudson Institute versus Heritage, all sorts of think tanky stuff. And we could discuss the various ways to fix Social Security. Great. Well, until you realize that Social Security is a symptom of not just a structural deficit. Social Security has every characteristic of a Ponzi scheme. But so does the Federal Reserve. And the Treasury. But that's not the core. The core is a moral deficit, a structurally decrepit morality in what I call the separate country of DC. And people like Nikki Haley, who may well be a very nice human, can't see it. They can't experience it because it does not affect them. It cannot affect them. Because once you work in politics for a given amount of time, you are, well, uncancelable in terms of income. You retire from Congress for 3 terms, a lifetime pension that you're never going to lose. So at a time, that all made sense, what she said, that discussion. But when you compare this against the unfettered pouring out of money to Vladimir Zelensky, because let's not kid ourselves, he is a deeply wealthy man and is going to get more wealthy without an audit, without simply saying, oh, by the way, what are you doing with that money? Without listening to people like retired Colonel Douglas McGregor telling us, hey, Ukraine is gone. They can't win. They've lost 400,000 human lives compared to Russia's 50,000. No, Ukraine is not winning. Until we listen to that, we could still think that what Nikki Haley says makes sense. It made sense 35 years ago. When it takes 17 working people to support one Social Security recipient, it is a Ponzi scheme. But we can turn to the experts. I have a friend. I consider him a friend. I have him on my podcast regularly. His name is Chris Bray. And great journalist. He's the old type journalist who follows facts and takes things to their end conclusion. He's been doing this job of monitoring some of the thought leaders, some of the experts in our society. And there's an expert. She's paid to be an expert, an expert's expert. She's an NYU professor. Her name is Ruth Ben-Ghiat, and she is filled with worldly wisdom. And God uses the simple things to confound the wise. She watched the Republican debate and came out with a sobering and frightening alert to this country. So you ready for this? She writes on Twitter, I cannot believe everyone is dressing like Trump with red ties. And I study the production of proxies and imitators of strongmen. Always amazing when research finding comes to life. I think she means finally comes to life. Research comes to life. So, and she's right. Every one of these literal Hitlers was wearing a red tie, except for Nikki Haley, who is not wearing a tie, being a woman. Thank goodness she recognizes that, or at least appears to. And then if you go back through history, as Chris Bray does, Al Gore wore a red tie. George W. Bush wore a red tie. George Stephanopoulos, Michael Dukakis wore a red tie. Barack Obama, William Jefferson Blythe Clinton III wore one. Bob Dole wore one. Jimmy Carter wore one. Gerald Ford wore one. Hey, and with a white shirt and a blue suit. It's almost like the colors are red, white, and blue. But yes, 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 it was Donald Trump. Donald Trump who introduced the wearing of the red tie as a sign, a dog whistle that, hey, come be fascist with me. Oh, if my memory doesn't fail me, this guy's also wearing a red tie, as we'll hear in this audio clip here. You won't hear the color red tie, but you can picture it. In this clip, John Kerry uses all the wording of every known faux science grifter and then babbles himself into a corner.
Without facts or economics on their side, they flatly deny what is happening to our planet and what we must do to save it. They incite a movement against what they falsely label climate change fanaticism, as they conveniently forget that the dictionary definition of a cult is the dismissal of facts in devotion to a lie. And while they refuse to accept the facts behind increasingly obvious damages, which the First Minister listed, they lash out at the truth tellers instead and label indisputable evidence as hysteria. They compound the already difficult challenge of the climate crisis by promising to do more of exactly what created this crisis in the first place. So now, humanity is inexorably threatened by humanity itself.
Okay, that last line, humanity is inexorably threatened by humanity itself, says a man who sees no reason to limit abortions to any period of time, up to and including the day of birth. Humanity is threatened by humanity itself, says a man who is party to the statement that we need to somehow get to fewer people on the planet. How many fewer? 7.5 billion fewer. But done in an equitable way so that the pain is spread about. Just make sure you know that he means that in the kindest possible manner. He says this, of course, and this is the easy part, after having flown to that event to deliver that speech, of course, on a private plane. This is a man who also said, well, I don't own any private planes, except, well, his rich wife owns them. They're in her name. So I believe God just says, please, please, gander here, take a look. I'll put them up on a stage for you. I'll let you see the emptiness of human conceit. I'll let you see how I continue to shame the wise. Oh, pardon me, yes, to shame the wise with the simple things of the world. Simple things you and I can see. Simple things like sometimes things aren't simple. What would you call a police officer who came to your house to investigate a burglary? Okay, comes to your house to investigate a burglary. And he left open the door to your house. In fact, he welded it open. And you came home and said, you're a police officer. You just welded open the doors and windows to my house so anyone can get in? Well, you're a racist, would say the officer. Gibberish. And yet at our southern border, that's exactly what has happened. They have welded open the doors to the gates that your tax money paid for. But sometimes things aren't that clean cut. Sometimes they're not that simple. When I was in Seattle, I got to know a family who, in all likelihood, are illegal immigrants. And incidentally, they're far better parents than I was. Far better. The reason I got to know them is they came to a skating rink where my daughter did a lot of skating. She was a speed skater. We spent a lot of time there. And I got to talking to their oldest daughter one day, just skating. She was a teen, and she was asking me questions about my job. I said, hey, what do you do? What do you want to do? She's 12. She said, I will be a respiratory therapist. That's what she said, not I want to be. I will be a respiratory therapist. I said, oh, that's fantastic. You already know. She goes, well, yes, I'm in an accelerated program at Highline Community College working that now. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 12. I said, this is such a blessing. And that came true. I learned that both parents work three jobs. The father of the household, who didn't speak good English at all, in fact, the kids had to translate for him, he had two chicken plucking jobs and a janitorial job. The wife, the mother of these four incredible children, also had three jobs, two of them in hotels, one of them at a cleaning service. And their kids worked, and their kids knew the Lord. And I said at the time, because they gave hints from time to time that they worked in jobs like that because they lacked the legal ability to work in others. They came in through an open door, and yet they were blessings. I would have gone to court and posted a bond and then whatever I could to keep them in this country after they went out and stood in line and came in the right way. So as we are outraged, let us not have our hearts transformed. Yeah, it's outrageous. They've welded the gates open, but let us make sure we remember our enemies are not flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities in the dark realms. Our enemies aren't those people. Let's not be transformed to think otherwise. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I believe God values words. And because of that, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. So until you and I get to speak again, I wish upon you the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will rest upon you. This is the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.